Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Nun Vav. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, we had quoted a braisa related to the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding different elements that are metame from a Zav, which are certain secretions from his body, and one of them, there's 3 different categories, those that are not metame at all, those that are like liquids, and then there are those that are like, they have the same halacha as the Zav himself, which has the halacha of an avatum, a metame adam, metame begadim, and one of them is that his urine. So that the Gemara says, would we know that his urine transmits tumah? So the Gemara brought a braisa. It says in the pasuk zayvei tumah, which is the source that we learned out that the discharge itself has tumah. And then the next pasuk says right after those words the word bezayis and this is going back in the previous pasuk to add on something else that's similar to the discharge that it's metame. So too is the urine. On that the braisa says, but why do you need a pasuk for that? It should be a kavul chaymer from spit. We know, we learned it from a different source, that spit is metame. Now, if spit, which comes out of a makom tahar, a place where the tumma doesn't come out from a person's mouth, and it's still tummy, the spit itself, so then urine, which comes from the place where the tummy source is, which is the male member where the discharge comes out from, for sure it's going to be tummy. On that, the Braisa says no, because blood that comes out of the male member will disprove that. Where it's coming out of the place where the tummy, where the discharge comes out from, it's still the blood is not going to be metame. So therefore, so same thing you could say regarding urine, that it would be tar, and if you needed the source of zayvi tummy, bezayis to say, to include that the urine also has the tumma of the mayona sazav as the discharge. That's why Gemara continues and says, well, dama yitzim epiha amam and non de tar. How do we know this idea that the blood that comes out of the male member, that it's tar? Maybe you should say the same kabochema there too. If spit, which comes out of the mouth, is tummy, then blood which is coming out of the place where the tumma comes out from should be tummy too. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, because like learning the Braisa. Yachol, the Braisa says, yeah, you would think, yehei dam ha yitzim epiv, that if blood comes out of the zav's mouth, so it should be like the spit, which is tummy. And so if blood comes out, umipiyama, from the male member, should also be like the discharge. And therefore, the blood that comes out of these two places should be tamein from the zav. Tamalema, that's what the Braisa teaches, says in the pasuk, zayvai, his discharge, tamei who it is tamei, which is telling us who tamei, the discharge is tamei, vein dam hayetzi mipiv, umipiyama, tamei elatar, but the blood that comes out of his mouth and from the male member is not going to be tamei, rather it's going to be tar. On that asked the Gemara, going back to the theme of the braisa we quoted from the previous daf on the top of this amid, but ve'ebechana, maybe say the exact opposite. What happens is that we're having an inclusionary terminology and an exclusionary terminology. We have the pasuk that says that this is tamei, vizois, and this, which is including something, which we said is for the urine. And then we have who, this, an exclusionary terminology, only this and not something else, which we're excluding the blood. On that, the Gemara says, say the opposite. Say, Bezayis is including the blood, that it is tummy, and Bahu is excluding the urine, the miraglim, that it's not tummy. On that, I'm Rabbi Yechon and Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yaichi, no, because Dumi Derek, the prototype that the Pasuk includes to be like the discharge that it mentions in the Pasuk is spit. So when we're including a secretion, it's going to be Dumi Derek, it's going to be comparable to spit. Which is ma'roik shemisagel v'yetsi, just like spit, that secretion. It first pools together in the person's body and then it comes out. Avkol shemisagel v'yetsi, whatever including in that category is also a secretion that pools together and then comes out. So first pulls together as one, then comes out, like spit, urine, semen. Yatzadam shemisagel v'yetsi, that would exclude blood that doesn't pull together and then come out. When blood comes out of the person's body, it drips out as it comes out, doesn't pull together then come out, and therefore that's what we're going to exclude, and we're going to include the urine. But as the Gemara, but v'hari cholav shabisha, but the milk from a woman shemisagel v'yetsi, where the milk first pulls together and then it comes out. And still, Vamama, we quoted in the Brayis in the previous stuff that says, Chalav Shabi'isha, when we spoke about these 9 different liquids from the Zav and the Zava, we said that the middle category, the milk in the woman, Mitami Tumas Mashkin, that contaminates only as a tumma, as a beverage, because we brought a pasuk that says it's like a beverage. But that tells us Tumas Mashkin in, only the tumma of beverages, yes. Avaloi Tumma Chamur, but it doesn't have the severe level of tumma of the secretion of an Ava Tumma, a Mitami Adam and Begadim. But why not? It has this categorical inclusion, as like you said, similar to spittle, which is, it's misagel v'yaitze, which is just like we're saying for urine. Elo Amar B'yechon, the Mishum Rishum Ben Yechi says, yeah, but it's another criterion. Yeah, dumi derek, has to be comparable to spittle. But there's 2 points. First of all, yeah, ma'roik misagel v'yaitze v'chayze v'nivla. There's 2 things. Yes, first of all, it has to be comparable to spit, which pulls together and then comes out. And also, it could get reabsorbed. Meaning, if it doesn't come out of the body, it gets reabsorbed into the body. So that would also include all those which pull together and then come out. And also, if they don't come out, they get reabsorbed into the body. So for example, like the stream of urine. If a person has to urinate and it's coming out and they don't, and it gets reabsorbed into the body, that's yatsa dam she'en misagel v'yetze. So first of all, that excludes blood because it doesn't pull together and then come out. And additionally, yatsa chalav shebeisha also excludes the milk from a woman. Sha'ava pisha misagel v'yetze. You're right, although there it pulls together and comes out, but in a chayz of a nevla, once the milk pulls together, it doesn't get reabsorbed into the woman's body, and therefore it's excluded. But the Gemara says, so you're saying we exclude these things because they're not similar to spit, but spit is not the primary secretion of the zav. V'nelev mizayvi, learn that from the discharge itself. Just like the discharge doesn't pull together and then come out, and still the tummy, so to its tummy. So I've called so to anything, even if it doesn't pull together. Why are we excluding the halacha of blood if the discharge itself doesn't pull together first? And that says, Amarav, he says, no. We can't learn now from the discharge. That's a more severe element, as we find that it causes tummy to the person himself. The person initially becomes tummy because he has a discharge. So that's a very severe liquid. So that's going to be something which is going to have the stringency, even though it doesn't pull together. But the spittle, which does, is not metamal acherim. That's a prototype that we could learn out from regarding all other liquids. That has to be misagav yaitze, and also like the other thing that we said, that has to be chayze v'nivla. Now we continue to explain the halach of our previous Mishnah, which spoke about the items that are metame, and additionally, these are items that are metame only lach, not yavish, only when they're moist, not when they're dry. So the Mishnah said v'hasheretz. One of the eight creatures that are the creepy vermin, when they're dead, they contaminate. Now Amar Shlakish, although we said in the Mishnah that it contaminates, as the Gemara is going to ask on this, only when it's dry, only when it's moist, but Shlakish says sheretz sheyavish. If you have a dead sheretz that dried up, but the shildei, its form of its body, like the skeleton, is kayemis, is intact, when it's all whole, then tamei is going to be tamei, even, meaning if it didn't break down and disperse, if it's all intact, then tamei it's going to be tamei. Says the Gemara b'Vanan, how we learn our Mishnah said, metamalach, and these are one of the items that only contaminates when it's moist. Ve'ei metamei yivishin, does not contaminate when it's dry. How can you say it's metamei even when it's dry? That a Mizrahi says, like, it's not difficult. Why? Ha, this halacha Rish Lakish was talking about bekulan. When the entire frame is intact, then it's going to be tummy even when it's dry. Ha, b'miktsasin. Our Mishnah that said it's not tummy when it's dry is only when you have part of the sheretz, where you have the minimum measurement of the tumma of the sheretz. If it's not intact, then it's only mitame when it's lach. That's the Gemara's time, like we learn the brisa. Amr b'Yitzchak b'Bisna, Amr b'Shem ben Yechi. It says in the pasuk regarding shratzim b'yikriyot alav, it says, whoever touches bohem in them. That in them sounds like the whole sheretz. So yachal b'kul, and you would think that a sheretz is only mitami when it's intact. Tamolayim, that's what it teaches in the pasuk, where it says, and b'chol ha'sheyipo alav, and whatever falls from them, whatever falls on the person, mayhem from them, when they're dead, it's going to contaminate whoever comes in contact with that dead sheretz. Now, when it says mayhem from them, imehem yachal b'miktsasin. So if it says from them, you would think that the tumah is even if they're not intact, even if it's only part of them. That's what it says, no, in them, which sounds like when they're intact. So says the Braisa HaKetzad. Well, is it mayhem or behem? Is it only when they're intact or even part of it? Oh, that's what we're saying. Kan balach. When we're saying mayhem, when it's part of them, that's when it's moist. Kan beyavish. When we're saying it's behem, it has to be the whole sheretz, that's when it's dry. And that's the halacha of Rish Lakish, and therefore it's not contradictory from the halacha of our Mishnah that says, not tell me when it's dry, it's when it's not intact. Similarly, Amar Rava, he says, Hani zivugi de mechuzah. These toads that are found dried up in mechuzah, which is the town, kisholden kayem is tamein. If they're, it seems like that was the case, when their skeleton, when their frame is intact, so then it's going to be tamein. So although it's dry, we said that's not going to be mitamei, but like we said, when it's totally intact, it's going to be tamein. A similar halacha from V'amr Rish Lakish, as his previous halacha, the Gemara says, a sheret shenisraf, not that dried up, but a sheretz that was burnt, but the shoulder canvas, but its frame is still intact. Tame, it's going to be tame. Similar idea. So here also the Gemara asks Meisvei from the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus. The Mishnah says Nimtza sheretz sarif al gabi azesim. If someone finds a burnt sheretz, creepy, one of the eight creepy crawling creatures, burnt on top of the zesim olives, which could become contaminated as a food item, or v'chei matlas hamahuma, or let's say a worn out and tattered rag, which was also something that was tame, but now it's tattered, So says the Mishnah Torah. The olives are going to be tar in both these cases. Why? There's a sheretz and a tummy rag. But shakala tameis keshas mitzias. And says the Mishnah, because all halachas of tumah are as you find it. Now when you're finding it, this sheretz is not alive. It's not moist anymore. It's totally burnt. And here the rag, although it's tummy, it's totally tattered. It's not a beged anymore that can be mitami. But one thing we see is that if a sheretz is burnt, it's not going to be mitame. So how could Rish Lakish say that a sheretz that got burnt is going to be tame? So remember there here also, he says the same idea. Look, Kash, it's not difficult. Habakul and Rish Lakish that said that even if it's burnt, but if it's intact, then it's going to be tame. Habamiktsas in the Mishnah and Tyrus is talking about when there's only part of it, and there's only part of it, if it's burnt, it's not going to be mitame. As the Gemara says, similarly here, as we mentioned this before, the Tanakh learned the Brisa. On the one hand, when it talked about shratzim, dead shratzim, it says bohem, in them. So yachab b'kulin, you would think it's only when you have the whole dead sheretz. Tamalei b'mehem, from them. Imehem, if it says from them, yachab b'mitzasim, you would think it's even when it's only part of them. Tamalei b'bohem, it says in them. Hakei, it's at haso. Kan, b'sarif. When did we say that you need the whole thing is when it's burnt? If it's burnt, then it's only going to be tamei if you have the whole thing. Kan, b'shein b'sarif. When it's not burnt, that's when we're saying it's going to be even if you have part of the sheretz. Now the Mishnah continued and said, all these items that we mentioned besides the menstrual blood and from a dead person, we said all those items are metamen lachem. They only contaminate, as we mentioned in the previous stuff, how do we know that they're metame? And then the Mishnah said, all those items, they're only metame when they're moist and not when they're dry. So now the Gemara goes through all the items to show the source that they're only metame when they're moist. So first of all, the first item mentioned was zayif. Regarding the discharge itself contaminates only when it's moist. How do we know this? The chassid, like it says the pasuk in the Yikra. It says that this is the law of the tumah, that when there's the discharge is rar bibsare, rar bibsare, that it flows in his flesh, like the pasuk continues, the ezayva, his discharge. So it's when it says the terminology rar is like flowing, which obviously means to say that it's moist, like a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, vayeri ririel zakane, that it's dripping down his saliva on his beard. So therefore, you see that the terminology of regarding the zayva is specifically when it's moist and it drips. Kechi v'neyoi v'roikoi, regarding the phlegm and the spit, how do we know that's also only mitame when it's moist? Because the chsiv, the pasuk says, v'yikra ki yarek hazav, which the source, the spittle, they're all included in the halach of spit, says when the zav will spit, it's ke'ein roik, like spit, which is moist. So therefore, it's only when it's moist. Sheretz, regarding the sheretz, is like the pasuk says, v'yikra, b'maisim amrachman, Torah says, when they die, which is, when they die, is ke'ein misa, at the time of death. At the time of death, they're still moist. Only later on do they dry up. So it has to be moist, like when it dies. Shech v'zeh, regarding semen, that is only mitame lachen, because that's intrinsic in what it is. Shech v'zeh is the laying of copulation, of seed, harui lazri. It's only semen that's fit to plant a seed, to impregnate, which is only when it's still moist. When it dries up, it's not fit. So therefore, you see it's only mitame when it's moist. Nevela, regarding a dead animal, that's because the chsiv, the pasuk v'yikra, ki yamos, when it dies, is at that moment, kein misa, like when it dies, which is when it's still moist. When it dries up, it's not going to be mitame. Now, the Mishnah, however, did say, but if you could soak these dry things, and then they're going to rejuvenate and become moist again, then these things will be tame. Now, the Mishnah described what type of soaking. It's in lukewarm water for a period of 24 hours. Now, on that halacha, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, when you say you put in lukewarm water for 24 hours, when you put something in lukewarm water, it doesn't stay lukewarm for 24 hours. So what does it mean? Does it mean tchilasa v'seifa b'peishin, but you have to maintain, however you're going to do it, a lukewarm water in the beginning and even at the end in lukewarm water? Idilma tchilasa, or maybe no. You put it in the beginning in lukewarm water, afa pishein seifa, even though at the end, it's not going to be lukewarm. In other words, you don't need it to be lukewarm at the end when the 24 hours end. So which one is it? Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya that it's a machlekes. Because the time, like learn the brisa. Kamehi shri yasim bepashin, how much is the soaking in the lukewarm water? So Yehuda ben Akusa Omer, he says that you don't need to have that it's going to be lukewarm at the end. You put it into lukewarm water. However, the sheretz has to be me'is le'est, put it in for 24 hours, and tchilasai, and in the beginning it's going to be lukewarm, afa pishein seifa, even though the end is not going to be lukewarm. Now that's a leniency, because what it's essentially saying is that if it's not rejuvenating in this water, it's going to be tar, even though had you kept it lukewarm, which is more of a rejuvenate, to be able to rejuvenate for 24 hours, it would have returned. So that's a leniency. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, no, tzrichin shi pushin the eisle eis. It has to be in lukewarm water for all 24 hours. Therefore, that's more of a stringency to say, okay, now that might bring back more vitality. And therefore, we see that the question is actually machlokes tanoim. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yisim, he disagreed on one point regarding the Tanakama. He says that Basa Ameis, he says, regarding the flesh of a dead person, although the Tanakama said that even when it's dry, and we brought the source, Sugim Batame, he says, but if it would not rejuvenate at all, and it's going to stay totally dry, then he said that even by Basa Ameis, it's going to be tar. Now, on that Amar Shmuel, he qualifies and he says, that's only tar melatame bekezayis. So as flesh from a dead person, totally dry, it can't even rejuvenate at all. So it's going to be pure from contaminating as flesh of a dead person in the measurement of an aleph. Of a metame tumas rakim, but it's going to have the tumah of the dust of a dead person, which that's a different measurement of a spoonful. The halacha is that a spoonful of dust of a dead person contaminates by being touched or carried or in the same oil, that it will have, because it's not any less than the dust of a dead person. It just doesn't have the halacha and the measurement of the flesh of a dead person. As the Gemara says, Tamehoche, similar in the Braisa, Rabbi Yisim, he says, Basa Meshayavish, the same Rabbi Yisim, he says, the flesh of a dead person that dried up, Vein Yochel Lishreis, Valach Zekomeshoye, and you can't soak it and ever rejuvenate it to be back whatever it originally was. So Tarmel Tamehokezai, it's pure from now contaminating the measurement of the size of an olive. Avotame Tomas Rakim, but it will contaminate in the measurement in the halachas of the dust of a dead person. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the qualifications of halachas of tumah as it relates to the laws of armesach, of nida, and to other related laws. Hasheretz shenimtza b'mavi. Someone finds a dead sheretz, which is a contaminant, in a mavi, in an alleyway. So says the Mishnah, we don't know when this dead sheretz was here, and there was taharis that were done in the area. So we are in a situation of doubt. So metame l'mafreya, it's going to contaminate retroactive, because it could have been tummy from this dead sheretz that was here, somewhere in the alleyway, atshiyaymer, until a person says, bedakti es ha-mavi hazeh, I had inspected this alleyway. I knew I was doing taharis, I checked it, v'lohoye by sheretz, and there was no sheretz. So, obviously it happened at some later point in time, but from that time prior, we're not going to have that doubt, because that guy checked it at that time and that day. Or the Mishnah says, atshas kibud, or the last time that it was, they swept the alleyway, from that time and earlier, we're not going to have this safek. And says the Mishnah v'chein kesem, shenim tzibuchalik, a similar halacha is regarding a stain, which is a halacha of tumah, as we mentioned in the previous dafim, that a woman finds in her garment. Here also, she has a stain. She doesn't know when she got the stain on the garment. So metame l'mafreya. So that's a contaminant, the menstrual blood, which we're in doubt when we find this on the garment. So it's going to contaminate retroactive. Ad sheyema, until he could say, bedakti es ha-chalak hazeh. He said, no, I had checked his garment. V'lohoye b'kesem. And there was no stain. So obviously it wasn't there earlier than that. Oy, ad shas ha-kibus, or from the time when they last laundered it. So then from that point beforehand, we're not going to have that safek. From that point onward, we're going to have that safek because we don't know after the laundering of when that stain happened. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, "Metame bin lach bin yavish." This stain of blood or regarding the sheretz is going to have halacha of tuma, whether we find it moist or dry. So we find it either moist or dry. The halacha of the Mishnah is going to apply, says the Tanakama, that we're going to be metame all taharis that were found in that alleyway from the day that you swept, or that the woman had done from the time that they laundered the garment. From that point onward, if they find the sheretz or the kesem, whether it's dry or moist, it's going to have this halacha of the Mishnah. But Shimon Neimer, he disagrees. He says, no. Hayavish, if they find the sheretz or the kesem dry, as we actually will qualify this in the Gemara, in which halacha this is going on, it says, if it's dry, mitamal mafre, then it's going to contaminate retroactive from the time of when it was last swept or from the last laundered. Because then you could say, since it's dry, you could say right after they laundered the garment, or right after they swept the right after they did that, that's when the blood had fell or the sheretz had fell. But v'halach, but if it's moist, then he says, no, in a matam, you can't say it's tummy retroactively all the way back to the last time that it was laundered or that it was swept. Elat shashi heyachal, rather up until the time that it's possible to say that if it fell that day, it would still be right now, and Lias, and the Girsa takes out the words lachzer, it's not about lachzer, rather Lias lach, that it would still be able to be moist. But to go back to the last time that it was swept, which a long time ago, that you can't say because it's moist. And if it fell then, a few days ago, it would have been dry by now. So he says, it's only if you find it dry. dry. Okay, it could have been who knows when. But if it's moist, it obviously happened from the last time, whatever, that it's possible that in reality that it would still be moist up until then. But more than that, it would have been dry, and then it's not going to be tummy until the last time they swept or that they checked. Now, to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following question. Ad shas kibud. This that we said regarding the first halacha, regarding the sheretz that they find, the dead sheretz in the alleyway. And we said, oh, so until someone said, I know, I checked, or ad shas kibud, until the last time they swept the alleyway. So what's the halacha? Is it because cheskase baduk? Because then it's under the presumption that it was inspected. In other words, do we presume that when people sweep, they look when they're sweeping? And therefore, I would have seen a sheretz. And therefore, the taharis that were there before we swept are obviously tahar. Because if there was a sheretz, we would have found it. And therefore, that means to say that it wasn't there. After we swept, okay, kobe fell. Is that the reason? Because it's chaskase badik, that when someone's sweeping, he's looking around and he would find it? Or maybe chaskase miskabed. No, had it been there when they were sweeping, then the sheretz would have been swept up because of the sweeping. And that's why we say that if it's here now, obviously it wasn't before they swept. So what is this? Because when we say that if someone swept, then before that's not going to be, we're going to say the old tar because we would have found it because they check, or because it would have been swept away. So it says, what's the halachic relevancy? Either way, we're saying before the sweeping, it's tar. It's the Amr where he says, kabed v'loy badik. He says that he swept, but he didn't check. He says, yeah, I swept, but I didn't check. So if you say that we're saying it's tahar before the sweeping, is because cheskase baduk, is because, yeah, we presume that he inspected, because when a person's sweeping, he's looking around and he's checking what he's doing. So halei baduk. But here he's saying that he didn't check. So therefore, the taharis that were before the sweeping would be tami. But if you say nothing with checking, the presumption would be it would have been swept away. And if it's here, obviously it's not from before. So hameskabit, so he swept. And therefore, it would be tahar. As we continue to Tamid Beis, inami, or another ramification would be in general. Not he didn't say I didn't check, but they found the sheret subsequently beguma in some crack in some hole. So iamet cheskasi badik. If you say the halacha generally because we presume that the person checked, so man the badik when someone's checking when he's trying to clean up beguma nami badik. He checks in cracks too. He's looking around. He's being investigative, and therefore then we would say that it would be tar, because the person would have found it. But if you say the presumption is because it would have got swept away, but when someone's sweeping, they don't get into the cracks. And therefore then, it wouldn't be cheskasi tar. Or similarly, the same question we're asking, says the Gemara, quoting from the halacha of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, so to hakesam achulu regarding the stain, which therefore, according to Taisis, he takes out the word zibayluhu, because it's actually a continuation of the previous Gemara's discussion, but it's asking the same question. When we said the halacha regarding the stain, so we said, ad shas kibus, either when someone says, I know for sure, or the stain wasn't there, or until the last time they laundered the garment. Why? Is it because cheskasi badik? Is it because we presume when someone's laundering, they're looking around, they're checking, and they would have seen it? Or maybe no, nothing to do with checking. Cheskasi miskabis. The presumption is, it would have been laundered, and therefore it would have been cleaned up. And if we have a stain, obviously it was after the laundry. Says the Gemara L'mayin Nafkimin. Here also the same idea. So what's the ramification? It's the same two ideas. The Amar where the person says, yeah, kibbutz v'lei badik. I laundered it, but I didn't check. If you say the whole reasoning why it's tar is because, okay, we presume the person checked, v'lei badik. He said he didn't check. And therefore, it's not going to be a chazaka that it's tar before the laundry. Now, but if you say no, we presume that it cannot have been the stain before, and because the presumption is that someone cleaning would have cleaned the stain, so miskabes, it was cleaned, and therefore it should be cheskasi tara from what was before the laundry. Or inami, or another ramification, would be dishtakech besitra. If they find it on the edges of the garment, where there are these little folds and stitchings over there. Iyamit cheskasi badik, if you say the presumption is that when someone's laundering, they're checking samanda badik, so whoever's checking, besitra nami badik, checks, because it's relevant for different things to know they're checking around, so they would check in the stitching and the side too. And therefore, then it would be tar, because we know that the person would have found it. But if we say the reason is because we presume that it would have been laundered, so when someone's laundering, it doesn't always get those stitching and the folds at the end. So then it wouldn't be tar. So what's the halacha? So for both questions, says the Gemara Tashma Tzvinger, write the Tanya like the following Brisa. Amr Meir, he says, Neima Amr, why did they say, and he's coming to qualify and explain this halacha of the Mishnah. Why did they say Hasheretz in them to Bemava if they find a dead Sheretz in the alleyway? Mitam al Mafrei, so we don't know when it happened, and if they were Taurus done, but they were going to say the Tumah goes retroactive. How far back? Until a person says, "Bedakti es amavei hazeh v'lohoi b'sheretz," that I know I checked and there was no sheretz. Oh yeah, chaski, but or going back to the time when it was last swept. So in other words, Meir is asking, why did they make this halacha dependent on sweeping, and that they said that all taras that were done before sweeping are tar? So he says, "B'mnei shecheskes b'nei Yisrael," because the presumption is by Jewish people that b'itkin mevoi sein b'shas kibudei, and that they check their alleyway when they're sweeping. That's why. So that answers the question. As we'll conclude with this idea. Now, family vodka, but if a person didn't inspect when they were sweeping, then yes, says Remei, hifsidu, lemafreya, then they're going to lose out retroactive that even what was before the sweeping, we're going to have to now suspect and say that it's tummy. And so too, he says the same idea. Why did they say in the Mishnah, kesem shenim tzibachalok, mitamal mafreya? They find the stain on the cloth, so then you have to say it's tummy retroactive, atchayim bedakti sachalok, v'loi bekesem, until the time where a person can say, I checked and there was no stain, oyachasakibus, or from the last time that they laundered it. So in other words, he's asking, why did they make the tahara dependent on the laundering? So he says, because the presumption is that the Jewish women, they check their clothing when they're laundering them. But if they didn't check, yes, then they did lose out, retroactive. So it's clearly dependent on the bedika. Now, Rabacha Amar, he says that actually, if we said that, okay, they lose out if they didn't check, but he says another option. He says, if they didn't check when they laundered the garment, and at a later point in time they find the stain, so we said, okay, then you got to go even before the laundry. Now, but the thing is, we're really in doubt. We don't know, was the stain before the laundering to say that it's even going to, whatever taras that were done even before and are going to be tummy or not? So he says the following idea. He says, what you should do is taksa b'techabseno. Okay, you have a stain now. You don't know, was there before the last time you laundered or not? Go ahead and launder it again. Im nitcha marisa, if it diminishes from the appearance of that stain because of this current laundering, so if you do a shalach hakibus, then you really know that this stain that you're finding over here really happened after the first time that you laundered. And therefore, the taharas that were done before the first laundering are going to be tar. Because had this stain been here before the first time that it was laundered, so then it already would have taken away the stain, and it wouldn't have then decreased the stain anymore because you already laundered it and the stain is already done. It wouldn't have weakened the stain. But vimlav, and therefore, if the stain doesn't get diminished now when you're doing it again, be you do shalav nekibus, then you really know the stain was already here before the first time that you laundered, and therefore you're going to have to say that the taharas even before the first laundering are going to be tummy. Third opinion, the third approach, Rabbi Yomi, he says what you could do is you could differentiate as follows. He says, it's ena daimam kesem shalachar kibus. You can't compare a stain after it's laundered lekesem shalav nekibus to the stain before it's laundered. He says, because shazeh, when it's after the laundering, it's makter. It gets absorbed into the garment. But vezeh, a stain before it's laundered, it's maklid. It gets crust, a thick crust. So therefore, that's another way of differentiation. But be that as it may, says the Gemara Shemamano, what we can infer, at least from this price, like we mentioned before, is cheskase badik. The reason why we go up until the last time it was laundered or swept is because not because of the sweeping and the laundering. No, it's because we presume that they're checking. Shemamano, that answers the question that it's dependent on the checking itself. Now the Mishnah said, regarding the kesem, the stain, and the dead sheretz, the Tanakhama said that when they find it, whether moist or dry, it's going to have this halacha of being metame l'mafreya. But Reb Shimon disagreed. He says, no, that's only if you find it dry. If you find it moist, it's only up until the time that it could have been moist. But it can't go further back in time than that. On that halacha, Amar Belazi says, lo yishanu. He's going on Reb Shimon. He says, we didn't learn his halacha el sheretz, only regarding a dead sheretz. There it's limited to the amount of time it could have been moist. Aval kesem lach, but a moist stain of blood? Nami metamel mafreya, there it's even going to have the halacha of being tamel mafreya. He would agree over there up until the last time that it was laundered. Why? Because Amar could say, yavashaya. You're right. What, how could it be moist? It was 7 days ago, the last time they laundered. How's it possible that it was moist all that time? No. Yavashaya, it was dry. Umayya, nafala, and water fell in it, and therefore that's why it's moist right now. But really, it was there a long time ago. So it's like, well, then Shemetz Nami wanted to say the same thing regarding the dead vermin. Say it was dry. Umayin afala, and water fell in it, and therefore that's why it's moist. Says Gemara, no, because Amisa Dachihava, regarding the Sheretz, had that been the case, Imertute Imarta, then it would have dissolved. It wouldn't have been just moist. If it's moist, obviously it just died now, and it could only go back to the time of when it was moist, not all the way back to the last time that the mother was swept. Now, continuing on this theme regarding the stains of blood, so the Mishnah says, Kalaksamim Haboim Rekim, all garments with a stain on it that come from this town of Rekim, Atahirin, they're Tahar, although the halacha is that a kes and menstrual blood is metame, but those inhabitants of those cities are idol worshippers, and their halacha of their blood is not like the blood of it's only for a Jewish woman that has the tumah of nida, and therefore their dam is tar, so therefore the garments that have these stains are going to be tar. Yehuda Metame says, no, those garments are going to contaminate, Mneishem Geirim, because the inhabitants of Rekem are actually converts, so they're like Jewish women, and therefore the blood is tummy. It's just that Vatayin, they're in error, they're not careful, they don't conceal their garments with the stains, these ksamim, these cloths, and therefore that's why you could find them, but really they're coming from the Geirim, and therefore it is going to have a tumah of dam, of nida, of kesem. Continues the Mishnah, Haboin Mibein Ha'ivdi Kechavim Tarin. But regarding these stained garments that come from amongst the idol worshippers, so like we said, that's going to be tar, because it's only Jewish women that their dam is metame. Now, Mibein Yisrael and Mibein Akutim. Let's say you find a kesem that's coming from amongst Jews and Kuthin, which Kuthins are a group that was brought by the Syrian king when they got rid of the 10 tribes of the Jewish people. He brought in these Kuthins, which has a questionable status throughout Shas, is discussed regarding, are they considered like full-fledged converts? Are they not? As our Gemara itself is going to discuss this halacha. So it's amongst no non-Jews, it's from the Yisrael and the Kutim, and you find this stained cloth. So Rav Meir Metame says the cloth is going to be tame, because they're Jewish women and the Kuthin, so it's going to be tame. But V'chacham Metarim, but the sages say it's going to be tar, which the Gemara is going to ask, if you're saying that these Kuthin and the Jewish women, which are all like Jewish women, that they're ksam matar, so then where do we find this halacha that a kesem is tami? Because a non-Jew is not matami. And the reason, say the chacham, why it's tar, is initially nechshtu akesmein, because they're not suspect regarding their stained cloths. To the contrary, when they have a stained cloth from menstrual blood, they wash them, they launder them, and therefore you wouldn't find theirs. And therefore, if you're finding it, it's not from the Jewish women, and therefore it's going to be tar. Because although the Jewish women are metame, but it's not from the Jewish women, because they don't leave it flying around, they conceal it. Now, the Gemara says as follows, Kapasik Betani, we learned a blanket halacha in our Mishnah, that regarding the ksam that come from amongst the non-Jews, that those ksam are going to be tar. Now, says the Gemara, that seems to infer any town that we know that are from non-Jews, afilim Tamrid, even from the town of Tamrid. So obviously, that the people of Tamrid are bona fide non-Jews. Now, so Amar B'yechon, as Zayis Merestis tells us, Mekablin Gerim Mitamrid. So we could accept converts from Tamrid, meaning they're valid to be like regular non-Jews and convert and become part of the Jewish people and marry in. In other words, we don't say that, no, they're really mamzerim, illegitimate children, because there's a possibility that they got mixed with the daughters of the 10 tribes, and the non-Jewish men and slaves that have relations with Jewish women, the child becomes a mamzer. So essentially what Rechon is saying is that, no, we don't say that's what happened. We don't suspect them to be mamzerim, and then they actually can't become gerim and marry into the Jewish people, because mamzerim cannot marry into a regular Jewish woman. From the fact that we're saying that we're treating them as full-fledged of the kechavim, not as Jewish women, then obviously that we could accept gerim from over there. We don't suspect them as mamzerim. And that says the Gemara, but is that really so? But Rabbi Yechanan, himself, and Savi, they both said that Eima Kamal Gerim Tamid. He's contradicting himself. He said that we don't accept converts from Tamid. Now, Vachitem, if you're going to say, oh, it's not a contradiction, Rabbi Yechanan, Zois, when he says in the inference from the Allah of our Mishnah that this tells us from our Mishnah, that's only the inference from our Mishnah. But he doesn't hold the Allah of the Mishnah. But how could you say that? Rabbi Yechon always says, halacha is not Mishnah. Halacha is like an anonymous Mishnah. Our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah. And our Mishnah is telling us, as Rabbi Yechon himself infers, that you could accept Gerim from Tamrid. How does he say with Savi that you don't accept Gerim from Tamrid? Says the Gemara, it's not a difficulty. According to Rabbi Yechon, there is one who says halacha is like a stam Mishnah, and therefore then Rabbi Yechon would be saying that you could be mekabel Gerim from Tamrid. Another one who doesn't hold to that halacha, and therefore he could be saying that you don't accept Gerim from Tamrid. Now the Mishnah then said, "Emachlekes says if you find these ksam from amongst the Jewish women and Kutim, the Kutims. So then we have a machlekes. Meir says it's going to be tame. Chum says it's going to be tar. So the Gemara wonders as follows, as we mentioned, Rabbanon, Idisro, Matari, if they say that these ksamim you find amongst the Jewish women are going to be tar, so the mametami, so for whose ksam are we saying that we say this halacha, as we say in the next Mishnah, that the ksam are going to be mitami? Non-Jewish women are not, and you're saying the Jewish women are also not. Says the Gemara, no, chser mech, chser b'hachiktan, that word's missing from the Mishnah, this is what it's supposed to say. Mibein Yisrael, of course, if you find a kesem from amongst the Jewish women, so you know for sure it came from a Jewish woman, so yeah, obviously it's going to be tame, because that's their menstrual blood, which is metame. Mibein ha-kutim, if you find it amongst the kutim, so we have a machlekes. Remeir metame, he says that it's going to be tame. Why? As we mentioned this idea before, the kutim geri emesen. He say kutim were full, truthful converts. So like the Jewish women. So if you know these some came from the kutim, so then it's going to be metame, like a regular Jewish woman. V'chacham say, no, it's tar. The kutim, geri arayisen, they hold that the kutians were converts only because of lions. As we find that in Sefer Malachim, that it says that Hashem sent in them these lions and they got all afraid and therefore they converted. That wasn't a true conversion. Therefore, we don't treat them as Jewish women. And therefore, their ksam are going to be tar, like non-Jewish women. But says Gemara Yach, if that's the interpretation of the halacha of Mishnah, that you're right, it's not amongst the Bnei Yisrael and Ben Akutim, it's two different cases. Ben Yisrael, the Chacham agree, and Ben Akutim is the Machlekes. But then, why does the Mishnah say that the Chacham say it's tar? Because Shalei Nechshdu al Kismayan, and those are the words they use, because they're not suspect regarding their stained garments and they conceal them. That's not the reason why, if it's in regarding the Kuthin women. It's because Gera Rois Mibayli should have said because they're not full-fledged converts and they're like non-Jewish women, and therefore it's tar. So the Gemara says, Ela, you're right. Hachikamad, though. This is what the Mishnah is saying. If you know that Mibayn Yisrael, Umibayn Akutim, if you know that the stain for sure came from amongst the Jewish and Kuthin women, then you're right. Everyone agrees that Tamein. That then it's going to be tummy, because everyone agrees the kutim geri emesen, everyone agrees in this Mishnah that the kathin were true converts, and therefore their blood is going to be tummy. However, hanem tzayin ba'ari Yisrael, but if you find these kesamim in Jewish cities, out in the open, so then tahirin, then those stained garments are going to be tar, because shalei nechshedu al kismen, Jewish women are not suspect regarding their stained garments, batznu matzni lohin, and they conceal them. So there, everyone's going to agree that it's going to be tar. Machlekes was, hanem tzayin ba'ari kutim. If you find it in a Kuthian city, out in the open, so Meir metame, he says, yes, it's going to be tame, because everyone agrees they're like Jewish women. And moreover, the nechshedu al kismen, Meir holds that they're suspect regarding their stained garments. I mean, they're not careful, they don't conceal it. So if you find it out in the open, we say it came from the Kuthian women, which is metame. V'chacham metarim, and these are the words that they said in the Mishnah. They say, no, it's tar. Shalei nechshedu al kismen. They're not suspect regarding the kesamim, just like a Jewish woman. And although you're finding a stained garment, it must have come from some other source, but not from the women over there, because they know to be careful and to conceal it. And therefore, just like the Jewish women, the chacham say regarding the kathin women are the same way, and therefore they say it's going to be tar. Now, continuing with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme as we mentioned, kal ha-kesamim, all stained garments, hanem tzayim b'chamakim, that's found in any place in a Jewish area. So like we said, taharim, they're going to be tar because it didn't come from the women. They're very careful. They know it's metame and they conceal it. And therefore, they launder it and it doesn't get out. It must be from some other source. Chutz, except min hanemtzon b'chadar, if it's found in their private chambers. So from the fact that they concealed it in the private place, in their chamber, obviously, that's the reason why they concealed it, because it is menstrual blood. Or b'svivas beis ha-tameis, or it's in the vicinity of the houses of tame, which were these rooms that the women would utilize in their state of nida, of menstruation. So if you find it over there, then yeah, we're presuming that it is the menstrual blood, and then it's going to be tummy. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, Beis HaTameah Shal Kutim, regarding the houses of Tuma that the Kathim would use, they're actually metamin ba'oil. There, if someone goes into that house, a person becomes tummy just walking into that oil. The reason for that is because by the Kathim women, they not only go there and they have the menstrual blood, that's where they bury also their miscarriages, where it's over day 40, it's considered like a bona fide mess, which is metamin to oil, and since they bury it over there, therefore one would become tummy as just going into that house itself by the Kathin women. Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, no. Loiha you kaivin. They wouldn't bury their miscarriages over there. El mashlichin, actually, they would throw it away over there. And to the contrary, actually, that's why it's tar, because b'chai garusa. Since they don't bury it, the wild animals come and grab away those miscarriages, those fetuses, and therefore it's actually going to be tar, because they're not there, because the animals take it away. Now, moreover, the Mishnah concludes and says, nemanim leimer. The Kathines are trusted to say, kavarner shames in the film, that we did bury a dead fetus over there, oiloi kavarner, or that we didn't bury. Nemanim leimer al behemah, they're trusted regarding an animal to say, imbachra, did it already have its firstborn child, which is halacha of the firstborn animal, imloi bachra, or if it didn't yet give birth to its firstborn animal. They're also neman matin kavars, they're also trusted regarding the marking of where graves are. But a related halacha, the einaman, they're not trusted. Loyal asachach is not regarding overhangs, loyal parois, or not with things sticking out of buildings. Veloyal beis apras, and neither regarding an area of a grave that was dug throughout a field, where the Gemara is going to explain all these three halachas are doubts, and rabbinically we consider as tamei, but the Kathim don't consider that. So therefore, they're not going to be trusted. But says the Mishnah, zehakal, because this is the rule. Regarding biblical law, as we're saying, regarding all those other things, so that they're trusted. But davish shechashrudim, but regarding things that they're suspected, regarding like these halachas of rabbinic origin, that they're regarding doubt, that they say, oh, nah, they're not concerned for that, then they're not trusted, and therefore they're not trusted regarding those three halachas of schachas, prize, and regarding beis apras.